greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Reverend Mr. John Kerrigan, Deacon of the Catholic community. It is the sixth Sunday of Easter, and the readings are from Cycle C.
Dinners at the Kerrigan household are hardly staid affairs. To begin with, there's the challenge of preparing meals for the vegetarian, the carnivore, and the macaroni and cheese gourmet. Once the meal is underway, the conversation runs from a recounting of the day's events to imitations of the idiosyncrasies of selected teachers. And on occasion, we also play a game called Table Topics. It consists of a small box of cards with simple projective questions meant to spur discussion. Well, one evening a few weeks ago, the table topic question was this: if you could know one thing about the future, what would it be? Whereupon one of my children said, "Dad, you should sit this out. You're so old, you don't have much of a future." Now, this is the same child who, a few years ago, after a small disagreement over homework, marched into the kitchen and with hands on hips said, "Daddy, I need your divided attention." "My divided attention? Honey, you've got it." So why do I share these snapshots of family bliss? They come to mind as I think about the challenges that the early church faced, as described in today's readings from Scripture, and how the disciples addressed them. In the account from the Acts of the Apostles, we hear about this fledgling sect, this Jesus movement. The reading makes you wonder if it was too divided, too beleaguered, to have a future of its own. Simply put, was it going to go the way of most startups, then and now? Of course, we know how the story played out. Jesus was faithful to the promise he made to his disciples. St. John recounts that Jesus told them that the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you. So it was the Holy Spirit working through the disciples who made the church of the first century into a global church. But here's the more challenging question. Does this 2,000-year-old institution, our Catholic Church of the 21st century, have a future? I don't think I'm being controversial when I say that we've lost one, perhaps two generations of Catholics. Let's take mass attendance. A mere 10 years ago, if you showed up at this 4:30 Mass 5 minutes late, you sat in the rafters. Well, as you can see, there are places here in Mem Chu where you could have your own private pew for Mass. And similar scenes to this play out in churches all across the country. It's a complicated issue, I know. So what can we learn from the disciples' manner of dealing with the challenges that confronted their startup venture? And how do we help the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, to penetrate our often divided hearts, minds, and spirits so that we might be more effective evangelists in 2013. Well, picture for a moment the early days of the Jesus movement. In Acts, we learn that the disciples traveled to at least 16 cities, towns, and villages, and the transmission of the word of God was laborious. Even if sent by the Holy Spirit, the disciples had to walk down from Antioch to Seleucia, sail on to Cyprus, and then hike up to Salamis before the word was passed on. In Iconium, the people were about to attack Paul and Barnabas with stones. At one point, Paul was beaten so badly they left him for dead. Yet in Lystra, The people thought they were gods and called them Zeus. I thought of Patrick in SpongeBob SquarePants when I read Paul's words in chapter 16 of Acts. Who are you people? Now, the issue of circumcision treated in today's reading may also seem curiously antiquarian. The converted Pharisees, fondly known as the Official Committee for Doctrinal Purity, Orthodox Rhetoric, and General Theological Correctness, claimed that no one could be Christian without being circumcised. But before we dismiss this as an arcane ritual, we should remember that for first century Jews, this was an indispensable sign of God's covenant, dating back to Abraham. Though today's readings from Acts of the Apostles abbreviate Luke's description of the process that brought about a solution to the dilemma, there were some very specific steps involved. Through careful and respectful listening to all sides, attention to what the Spirit was doing, taking into account personal experience, study of the Scriptures, reflection on tradition, lively debate and discussion, and silence and prayer. Through these steps, the first Christians found some resolution in the midst of differing opinions. The compromise that the disciple James offered regarding circumcision didn't solve the problem once and for all, but the process used does give us an example of how we might receive and live and act through the Holy Spirit. One takeaway for our time: as Catholics, we're 95% in agreement on matters of faith and 5% of differing perspectives. So please, no more Catholic circular firing squads. In a few moments, we'll formally welcome Jack Jusko, Timothy Zhu, Jacqueline Hansen, and Ruby Dewey through baptism to the church. In addition, Anders Elk and Ruby will receive their first communion. They and we live our faith here at Stanford, here in the United States, and in an increasingly interconnected global society faced with daunting challenges. In the baptism rite, the godparents, parents, and the entire community are asked to accept the duty and responsibility of training our new members in the practice of the faith. In light of hearing God's word from Scripture today, how do we pass on this inheritance? Actually, through surrender. That's right, surrender. To yield, to humbly accept. Now, I realize that that word surrender isn't often in use here at Stanford or in Silicon Valley, but it's one of the things needed to pass on the inheritance of the faith. Yes, we pass on our inheritance by surrendering to the Holy Spirit. So how do you and I make time and find ways to give our undivided attention to God's Spirit? I know it's a great challenge for me, and I think for many of us, to find 20 or 30 minutes in our day for prayer, to meditate on Scripture, or to be faithful to some other practice. But that's what's required if we ever hope to be receptive to the Holy Spirit. And if 20 or 30 minutes a day is a stretch, then start with 2 or 3 minutes. For what the Spirit sent Jesus to do in his lifetime is what the same Spirit is sending us to do in ours. This is why the Gospels of the Easter season spend so much time talking about the power God is giving us for the job. And yet this spiritual power is being given to us not so that we can become untouchable, aloof, invulnerable, or impervious to pain. The power that we receive is meant to make us capable of bearing more, of drawing closer to those in need. The Spirit sharpens our hearing so that the soft cries of the suffering don't go unheard. The Spirit sharpens our sight so that we can see the roots of injustice and prejudice. The Spirit heightens our attention so that we can recognize more quickly and more gratefully the beauty of the virtues of fidelity and integrity and honesty. And when conflicts in our community do arise, we can emulate the spirit who was so alive in the practices of the disciples in the early church, a thoughtful listening to each other, to different points of view, to scripture and tradition, followed by debate and finally action. Of course, there's so much more that could be said about the Holy Spirit as God strengthens us. And so much could be said about evangelization in our world today. But let me end on this theme of surrender to the Holy Spirit with the brief words of the late poet Denise Levertov, who taught here at Stanford for over a decade. As swimmers dare to lie face to the sky, and water bears them. As hawks rest upon air, and air sustains them. So too would I learn to attain free fall and float into Creator Spirit's deep embrace, knowing no effort earns that all-surrounding grace.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Producer, Father Isaiah Mary Milano, OP. Director, Gary Glover. With music by Albert Tommaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.